This is Brian Howell, Colorado Buffalo's beat writer for the Buff Zone, and you are listening to The Whole Show on 1310 KFKA.
Just 37 minutes after the 12 o'clock hour. Welcome back to The Whole Show, powered by PDC Energy. We're live from the Allo Communications Studios. Do you want to shout out to Orthopedic and Spine Center of the Rockies? They have a spine specialist, a hip and knee specialist, foot and ankle specialist, hand and upper extremity specialist, you name it. They have you covered literally from head to toe. That is Orthopedic and Spine Center of the Rockies. Check them out online, orthohealth.com. I actually went to them a few years back. I was having some trouble, shoulder issues, and just some various therapies that I did that I still to this day, as far as my exercises and routine, has really helped me out. So maybe it doesn't have to be surgery. Maybe it could just be sitting down with people, figuring out new stretches you can do, new workouts you can do to help you out. That's Orthopedic and Spine Center of the Rockies. First Advantage text line 888-530-0043. That's 888-530-0043. We're efforting Mark Johnson at this point, the voice of the Colorado Buffalo. Still nothing just yet, so we'll see. I know CU got after it yesterday as far as checking into camp, getting ready to go. And the big thing with CU, I know it's probably not the sexiest story, because I think when you think about the stories we're covering here that we talk about on a daily basis as far as football goes, obviously the Broncos, you have Russell Wilson. You know, that's exciting. People are pumped to see what this team can do with Russell Wilson as the leader. Denver's been starving for a quarterback for quite some time. CSU, Jay Norvell. There is a new era for Air Raid. It's exciting, isn't it? I don't know how the year will go, but it is exciting to see how this is going to happen. I think Rams fans are elated at what they're hearing and seeing right now with camp getting going on Friday morning. You know, you continue, look at the UNC Bears. I think the Ed McCaffrey stuff is still there. The Ed McCaffrey juice buzz is still there. People are still interested to see what they can do, especially now that he's got the first year under his belt. I think there's still some excitement there. Maybe it's wearing off a little bit, but I still think it's there. As for CU, I mean, the most they were in the news, you're talking about the Pac-12 stuff, and, you know, are they going to, are the Buffs going to move on to the Big 10, Big 12? What does that look like? Is the Pac-12 going to dissolve eventually? That was the biggest news. If you want to just look at the roster, though, and what this team's looking at, it's all about the quarterback. Offense was pretty bad last year. Brendan Lewis, extremely young, learning on the fly. I think it's his job to lose right now, according to Brian Howell of Buff Zone. Brendan Lewis leads the way at this stage, but JT Shroud is healthy. And, you know, I know a lot of fans, when Brendan Lewis was really struggling, were desperately hoping that JT Shroud would come back. You know, he missed the entire 2021 season with that knee injury. I think fans were just really hoping, you know, he'd get back into the swing of things. And then maybe put some more pressure on Brendan Lewis, or at least be there to take over. But for the Buffs, it is about that quarterback position. That's the first thing we're looking at here. What's the excitement level for CU? That's the thing. How excited are you about the Buffs? You had the COVID year, which, okay, Carl Durrell was actually really good that year. Jades, try calling again. We're not. He said he's texting me asking. We're trying to get Mark right now. I'm texting as we go here. He's probably out in the wilderness somewhere, you think? First Advantage text line 888-530-0043 is our First Advantage text line. Looking to get Mark on. I think we have him. We do have Mark on the program. Mark Johnson, of course, is the voice of the Colorado Buffaloes, joins me each and every week here on the whole show, and I always love it. You know, Mark and I can talk about anything. We talk about the big picture stuff, the sports world, things that are happening in the sports world, but we can also just break into the X's and O's. And Mark, before we got you on, my friend, we were just talking a little bit again, and I know this is the big topic with the Buffs roster, is that quarterback position. Camp getting underway yesterday, right? So now we get a start. We get a chance to see Brendan Lewis and JT Schrout go at it. Maybe both of those guys will push each other to be better this season.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, in fact, I was just in an interview just a few minutes ago with Mike Sanford, the offensive coordinator, who will be releasing on social media here shortly, and he kind of talked about that. You know, it's an idea of, you know, raising all boats, if you will. You know, high tide raising all boats. And that's what they're hoping with those two guys. And, you know, last year, before JT Schrout got hurt, I thought the level that those two were playing at was extremely high. And when Trout went down, Lewis didn't have the competition. I think he kind of settled a little bit. In fact, Mike Sanford just said that a few minutes ago. And so I think what you're seeing from those guys, both of them are really kind of pushing each other. It's going to be interesting to see what happens, you know, through camp. Trout was the guy that I thought was leading when he went down with an injury last year. Early on, again, it's been 2 days, so I've watched him for, you know, about 3 hours in the last couple of days. And they both look pretty sharp. But, you know, there's something about Schrout, though, man. When he throws the ball, it looks like an NFL ball coming out of there. And so I'm kind of fascinated to kind of watch this thing unfold over the next few weeks.
Well, and Mark, I know last year was so tough, too. And either way, you looked at that quarterback competition. I know Buffs fans would have liked to see, when, you know, Brendan Lewis certainly had some low moments last season. And I think you were thinking, man, it would be great to get JT Schrout in there, see what he can do with this team. Let's go to Brendan Lewis first, because I do want to talk to you more about JT Schrout. But looking at Brendan Lewis, you know, what's his confidence level like? You know, because again, last year was just so rough. He had his moments for sure, but he was learning pretty much everything on the fly, it seemed like.
Oh, yeah, no. It was a baptism under fire. There's no doubt about it. And let's be honest about it. It's not like he had a great offense around him. And there were times he was running for his life. That's a bad combination. Not great protection. Young quarterback trying to figure out. He had a tendency to hold the ball a little bit last year. That's a recipe for disaster, which is why offensively the Buffaloes are one of the worst teams in America in that regard. So they've got to improve that. I think, you know, when you ask about his confidence, when you talk to Brendan Lewis, he is the kind of guy. I was joking with somebody the other day. I think his heart rate must be about 40 beats a minute. I mean, he is just as low key and relaxed. And he never seems to get excited about anything. When you talk to him, he's just very matter of fact. And, you know, it's a slow pace and that kind of thing. And so, from a confidence standpoint, it's hard to get a read on him because of the way his personality is. Now, I know for a fact, he and I chatted about this yesterday, he did go through by himself, broke down every one of the games, and sat down with the offensive staff. They broke down every one of the games and so tried to learn from that. And then he had player-led practices, obviously, all summer long. And so, I think from a confidence standpoint, you know, maybe not according to what you see from a personality standpoint, but I do think he feels much better this year in terms of understanding the role, the position. Now, from a learning curve, a new system, you've got Mike Sanford coming in. Both he and Schrout started at square one, obviously, because they had to learn a new system through spring ball and now into fall camp and all summer long. And so it's not like he's got to get any big jump because he's got a year of experience on JT in that regard. They're both learning the system, you know, I think at the same time.
Mark Johnson joining us, the voice of the Colorado Buffaloes. So you're saying, Mark, you kind of thought, you know, again, everything we saw with Brendan Lewis, learning on the go pretty much, but you kind of were feeling like maybe it was JT Schrout's job to lose at that point. Going forward here, does that last year's, you know, what we saw last year, does that come into Carl Durrell's mind as far as saying, okay, maybe he was ahead last year, gets hurt. Brendan Lewis had the full season, though. So how much of last year's camp and everything before the injury will really help JT Schrout win that job?
I think zero, and I say that for numerous reasons. But in fact, Carl Durrell was the one that said, when you and I saw each other down at that event down near Coors Field here a few weeks ago, that, you know, Carl Durrell made the comment that it was all, you know, the incumbent is the one that has the job, meaning Brendan Lewis. And so he's been very consistent with that commentary ever since. And so that indicates, okay, you've got the job. That was Brendan Lewis. J.T. Schrout's going to have to take it from him. I don't know that there's a leader in the clubhouse. I think that's important for a coach to say something like that. But I kind of get the sense just watching. They're splitting reps evenly. they're really watching every single rep, what they're doing, how they're conducting themselves. Are they making the right reads? Are they making the right throws? You know, I'm sure it has to do with what they're doing in the locker room, how they're leading. I'm sure all that's going to go into it. I really think this is just a let's enter camp and open this thing up and really figure out which guy's going to be the best for the team moving forward. So and keep in mind, you've got a brand new offensive coordinator who does not have any knowledge of what went down last year firsthand, right? And so I think from Mike Sanford's standpoint, and he's the guy that's going to, you know, ultimately make the call. Carl's going to have obviously veto power on that as the head coach, but Mike will make the call. And so I think for him, it's sit back and just totally evaluate over the next 3 weeks and see what happens.
Talk to us a little bit about Mike Sanford. And like you said, that offense was struggling mightily last year. What kind of an impact, maybe, you know, quickly do you see him making with this football program?
I like his energy. He's a younger guy, very energetic guy, and I like what he's brought in that regard. I just asked him a question a little while ago. I said, okay, you tell me, there's two mindsets here. Do you bring your system in and say, this is my system, this team's going to run what I want to run, or do you look at the team and say, well, this is my system, but here's what it fits the team, you know, from a better standpoint. And so he said, you know, Marcus, both of them. In spring ball, I came in and said, this is the system. This is what you're going to learn. Now we're in fall camp. Now I've had a chance to watch, see what the individual pieces, see what the individual quarterbacks are like, and now begin to custom fit what we do within the system to each one of those guys. He said, really, there's not a huge difference between what J.T. Shrout or Brent Lewis feels comfortable running. So he said, it's not like I've got to have, you know, offense A and offense B. That's not the course. It's very similar with just a couple of wrinkles here or there. So I like his energy. I like that mindset, the way he explained that. And boy, I tell you this, and I think it was Brendan or JT. I think it was Brendan yesterday when I asked him about, you know, learning from Mike Sanford. He said, "I'm blown away by his knowledge. I'm learning something every single day." So I think both these young quarterbacks feel real good about, you know, kind of that relationship and how the interaction is going so far.
Well, I know we're excited to see kind of how that thing works out, and that's what we're focused on. I mean, I love the storylines. We get into this type of year, we can look at all the teams that we talk about, and you're just really focused on those storylines. Certainly the quarterback, the offensive coordinator, those are kind of the big pieces that we're looking at going forward to see what this Buffs team can do. It's a tough schedule, no question about it.
I think that first game is supremely important. You've got a TCU team, which went 5-7 a year ago. They've got a new coach. It's still a lot of change going on there. It's a Friday night in Boulder. I think that can really set the tone for Colorado. Tough one, obviously, and a very difficult scout going down and taking out Air Force the next week. Then going to see, you know, the Minnesota Golden Gophers, who Mike Sanford was the OC for last year. And so that non-conference slate is extremely difficult before you jump into Pac-12 conference play. But, you know, they're winnable ball games, but this team's got to make a lot of growth, I think, so far from what we saw a year ago. Early on, there's good energy out there. I think the linebacking core looks very good. That might be the strength of that defense. And that might surprise people, considering you're losing Carson Wells and Nate Lamont. I like what I'm seeing from those linebackers. They've got some transfers in there. And so there's a lot of things early, anyway. And I throw that caveat out there. Early, I like what I'm seeing so far. And we'll talk again in a couple of weeks and give you a little bit of update. But right now, evaluation-wise, so far, so good.
Yeah, there's only so much you can take from a couple of days, and as you said, we'll get more about this team. And Mark, nothing big on the Pac-12 thing either. I mean, while you were out, we thought maybe we were going to get something, but I suppose no news is good news at this point for the Pac-12.
Well, you know, it was interesting. A buddy of mine that lives up in the upper Midwest texted me and said some of the stations in Minneapolis today were talking about a rumor out there that Minnesota's going to the Big 12, and I thought that might be the dumbest thing I've ever heard. You know, the rumor mill is just stupid right now.
Oh, but, wow,
you know,
yeah.
He goes, why do you think that's dumb? And I said, well, being the Big Ten is going to get $80 to $100 million per school, the Big 12 is going to be in there at probably 45 to 60 range. Why in the world would you give up $20, $30, $40 million? No one's making that move, but that's the kind of goofy stuff that's floating around out there right now. It's percolating. It's not dead. It's still moving. Don't be surprised if something comes down the pike here at some point in the not-too-distant future, I would think.
I keep refreshing all my Pac-12 stories and everything just to see what happens. Mark, my man, appreciate you as always. I am excited about the season, getting to talk about these X's and O's as we progress. So we'll be curious. I'm sure by this time next week, we're going to have even more we can break into.
All right, brother. I look forward to it. See
you. All right, man. Mark Johnson, the voice of the Colorado Buffaloes. First Advantage text line, 888-530-0043. The Method Flow Products poll question of the day. I haven't spent any time on this yet. Who's going to have the better 2022 as far as records go? Colorado State or Wyoming? Both are kind of, like, Wyoming was a bowl team last year. But they're certainly in a recharge mode with a young group. Still got a good O-line. Still got a good running back. CSU certainly new coach and everything in a recharge mode, or hopefully they can get the new era going. So who's going to be better of those two teams? 12:51 the time. We'll take a short break. Don't forget we have Jesse Kurtz of the Mountain West Network coming up as well. We'll ask him that question. Don't go anywhere. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy, live from the Allo Communications Studios.
Clark Johnson and Bruce Dick for Clark and the Coach. Weekdays at 10 on Northern Colorado's Voice. 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
This is Joel Cantalamessa from RamNation.com. You're listening to The Hull Show on 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Little roller up along first, behind the back, it gets through Buckner, here comes Knight, and the Mets win it!
That's a classic one, man, right there. Was that one of your, your favorite one that you wanted to go with there? Vin Scully, man, second to none there as we all, the whole sports world kind of mourns Vin Scully. That's probably one of the more legendary calls of all time right there with Buckner and everything.
That's my favorite call of all time.
Yeah, that's. I mean, it's got to be. It's right up there. 12:56 the time. Method Flow Products poll question of the day. We're talking a little Mountain West football coming back. We got Jesse Kurtz of the Mountain West Network. He'll join me. We're talking Wyoming CSU first off. I mean, who do you think is going to have the better record between those two teams next season? And both are kind of in an undefined situation right now where Wyoming's dealing with all of the transfers. Still Craig Bohl trying to stay the same, though, and run the ball. CSU, on the other hand, completely new stuff going on. New quarterback, new head coach, new offensive coordinator, new everything. Jesse Kurtz will join me on the other side. Talk a little Mountain West when we come back. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy.
At second base with two out. Now the Dodgers don't need the muscle of Gibson as much as a base hit. And on deck is the leadoff man, Steve Sachs. 3-2. Sachs waiting on deck, but the game right now is at the plate. High fly ball into right field. She is gone!
There's another beautiful clip there from the man, Vin Scully. I want to read this. This is from the Dodgers. He was the voice of the Dodgers and so much more. He was their conscience, their poet. They're capturing their beauty and chronicling their glory from Jackie Robinson to Sandy Koufax, Kirk Gibson to Clayton Kershaw. Vin Scully was the heartbeat of the Dodgers and in so many ways the heartbeat of all of Los Angeles. Vin passed away at the age of 94 on August 2nd, 2022. Pretty powerful. It's so cool, man. I mean, I know this is a world where we like to get at each other, whether it's for sports or serious stuff. Guy like Vin Scully goes away, and everybody comes in and says, man, one of the great ones. And just a great guy, too. He did it the right way, and just a fantastic. I mean, just listening to that call right there, Jades, it was simple yet so powerful. And there were times where he'd be setting the story up, and then it's almost like a WWE wrestler. He'd hear the crowd start going crazy. He just knew when to soften it and then be quiet, let it go for a while. The timing he had as a broadcaster, that's a hard thing to do sometimes. And, man, he had that down to a science, didn't he?
Oh, yeah. His technique was next to none. I mean, and he's just the type of guy that not even sports fans know the name just because of how iconic the man is.
Everybody's going to know his name for a long time. Like, I didn't grow up ever seeing or hearing Howard Cosell stuff, but I knew him, and I knew what he was famous for. I mean, I knew he was Monday Night Guy, Muhammad Ali, that whole stuff. Like, there's just great broadcasters that are going to forever be etched in the Hall of Fame and also the Sports Hall of Fame of our minds, too. Just a guy that will forever live on in Vin Scully. So, like I said, to start the show, tough week. Vin Scully passes, and Bill Russell earlier in the week. Certainly a strange time, a difficult time for our diehard sports fans. First Advantage text line 888-530-0043. Jade's my man. Let's jump into a little NFL chatter, shall we, today in the NFL. Can't you just kind of like smell the grass when that goes off? I mean, I know Jade's getting sad because, you know, baseball's getting ready to get buried as we start our NFL season in college football. But I can smell the grass, man. I'm ready to go. It's camp time. It's just, it's nuts. Did I make you mad?
No, not too mad. I think that this postseason's going to be one for the history books.
I think the postseason will be good. But,
oh, yeah. No, regular season, dead.
Yeah.
100%.
Although, you're right. The trade deadline did bring some excitement yesterday.
Oh, yes. Don't even get me started on that.
Not
Brady.
For the Rockies, though. And this is supposed to be our NFL segment, but we'll get to it in a minute. Rockies didn't do anything.
Not a single thing.
Nope. They're the only team that didn't make a trade?
Yep. The only team. The only thing they did was extend Bard.
Which is an okay move, I guess.
Is it?
Don't you have to have... I mean, what good is having a stud closer if your starting pitching is terrible? I mean, Freeland and Marquez maybe aside, but you said the other day they need to do something to get a better, you know, another guy on that starting rotation and then maybe another bat. I don't know. Is the Daniel Bard move a good move? He's been great. I think he should have been an all-star. I think he was more of an all-star than C.J. Cron this year, and I know we're comparing positions, but Bard's one of the top closers in the league.
Yeah, no, he's been phenomenal, and yeah,
he's 99 years old.
Exactly, that's the other issue. It's great to have a good arm in your bullpen. It's great to have a good closer, but your closer is only as good as the position they're put in.
Yeah, and are you confident that he's going to be put in a lot of great positions going forward here? Bill Schmidt didn't even know anybody else made contract extensions, like within his own division. Is he paying attention to what the Padres... Do you think he even knows what's happening with all the Padres trades happening? And they did have a contract extension, and he's like, yeah, well, we're the only team in the league that had a contract extension. Even if they were the only team, which they weren't, because it was... I mean, there's several teams, right? Just two off the top of my head, the Braves and the Padres.
Yeah.
Why does that matter? Even if they were the only team to do a contract extension, what does that matter?
It doesn't.
Extending a player is a part of a bad team. I mean, I like Daniel Bard, I do, but... That's not going to move the needle with Rockies fans. Hey, we didn't make a trade, but we did keep one of the guys currently that's making up this bad baseball team.
Yeah, MLB.com, the headline, they did a headline for like each of the, like every team, and the Rockies headline was, "We like our guys," which is kind of a scary statement.
Do we?
That's the problem.
Do we? Like, I
apparently the front office does.
I've watched a lot of baseball this year. I've watched a lot of Rockies baseball. I have to ask the question. I mean, are we happy with this situation? There's some pieces on this team, and you know, and I don't totally disagree with you, Jades, that if you do get another stud starter that you can add to Freeland and Marquez, and maybe another bat, maybe you are closer. And I know, but. See, even just saying two players, that's easier said than done. Finding those guys, you know, it's like an NFL team saying, well, if we could just find a quarterback, we'd be right there. It's a lot easier said than done. You might be a couple of guys away, but the fact is you're still a couple of guys away.
Well, and the other part of it, I think, is that now is not the time to win for the Rockies. It's not. You have
I thought
two...
we'd seen improve, but...
I mean, I want to see the Rockies make a push. And I'm not – now is not the best time to do it.
Do they just tear it all down? I mean –
That's what I've been saying. I think that they restart with Chris Bryant, get rid of some of these pieces.
If he's ever healthy.
What they should have done was traded some of these guys for some top-tier prospects.
Do you trust the Rockies staff to be able to bring these prospects up, though? That's the other thing. From what we've seen over the years, I mean, there's been a few guys that have hit, but... You know, look at Ryan McMahon. I mean, you signed him to that long-term contract, and he has not delivered since signing it.
At all.
Not really at all. I mean, he had a decent day yesterday, but it didn't matter. I mean, had some opportunities yesterday. But, hey, we got to get to our Today in the NFL segment there, Jay. Just hang on, okay? Debo Samuel, what'd you think of that signing? I mean, I didn't think it was going to happen, is my point. Like, you're hearing he's frustrated. He doesn't want to be called a running back, wide receiver mix. He wants to be paid like a wide receiver. He wants to be a wide receiver. They did put incentives in his contract, though, that if he certain things that he might do as a running back. He came out today or yesterday, and he was talking about the extension and everything. He was free to speak to on the speculation that swirled around him during the crazy offseason that maybe he wanted out. That he wanted to get out of there. He said, at the end of the day, this is a business, Samuel said. So what changed was the communication. The more we communicated, the more we started to figure things out. The reason I wanted to bring that up is because so many times we see this in sports where there's a falling out, like the Baker Mayfield situation. I was just kind of led to believe that Cleveland wasn't reaching out anymore. Like, they knew they were in trouble with Deshaun Watson, although now it's just six games. Reach out to Baker and grovel and beg for him to not demand a trade. I don't think any of that stuff was happening. And I just think communication sometimes can really solve everything if you really outline the value and what you believe rather than going through an agent and reps and all that. John Lynch sitting down with Debo Samuel talking about how they really view him.
Well, and I think the signing was a good idea. I mean,
he's such a versatile player.
Exactly.
Maybe the most versatile in the league.
Which is maybe the problem as to why he's not wanting to be a running back wide receiver mix. I mean, he's a hybrid player. That's what made him so spectacular. And if you're going to take that out of your game, he's still a great receiver, but it limits his true potential, I guess.
Well,
his true talent.
And if you're thinking from him, cuz it did seem like maybe he didn't want to be thought of as a Swiss Army knife. Wide receivers are divas. I mean, that's just how it is. So is there a little diva there that's like, I don't want to get in the trenches all the time. I don't want to be, I can do it, but I also want my career to last 10 plus years. You know, running backs, we know once they hit 30, they start to kind of go away. So maybe a little bit of that was happening. I'll be curious how much they use him this year in those run situations, how much they want him to run the ball. Because it does give them the one up over a lot of teams in this league. But are they going to want to bring that down a little bit? Maybe Debo doesn't want to be used like that as much.
And maybe at this point in both the 49ers, I guess, games and his career, it's going to be more so of like trick plays with him running the ball rather than a consistent.
Yeah. I think you're right. I think it's going to be a lot of that, getting creative with the ball. But who knows? It's a kind of a new day for San Francisco with Trey Lance. So I just thought that was an interesting story. You were out yesterday, Jades. The craziness with the NFL. They're investigating whether or not Brian Flores, what he said about the Dolphins tanking games and all that stuff. That's what they were there to investigate. And then they find all this other stuff. Oh, you were contacting Tom Brady while he was with the Patriots. You were contacting him while he was with the Bucks. You were contacting Sean Payton's agent while he was with the Saints. I mean, odds are this kind of stuff happens. So Bill Belichick, who kind of spilled the beans about the Flores stuff, or was a part of that whole mix where Belichick texts the wrong Brian, I guess, and he's like, congratulations on the job, man. You deserve it. And Brian's like, are you serious? Oh, crap, wrong Brian. Don't make that mistake. Bill Belichick, because he is kind of linked to that, plus he's obviously linked to Tom Brady, he was asked about it yesterday, and he answered it only way Bill Belichick can.
Yeah, I'm not really worried about that. We're just trying to have a good training camp here.
Did you have any idea the Dolphins were tampering with your starting quarterback that season?
Yeah, focused on training camp here. That's all in the past.
That's my favorite now. It's become, you know, he knows it too. Like, I've heard that Bill Belichick is like a cut up, that he's actually really funny. But he like does that stuff and won't give an inch, won't even go there at all. It's actually become pretty fun. So I actually like it. 17 minutes after the hour. All right, let's talk about Tim Patrick when we come back. What does this mean for the Broncos? I'm going to tell you why it's not necessarily freak out panic time just yet, but it also hinges on a guy like Jerry Jeudy and maybe even KJ Hamler. So we'll talk about that next. Before we do that, I want to talk about Cables Pub and Grill. They've always got something going on, man. Every single day is a celebration at Cables. Great food, a wonderful atmosphere. And I've gotten to know these folks, Sean and Nikki over there, the owners, amazing people that just get this community. And the place has been locally owned and operated since 1972. So clearly they're doing something right. Today, it's Wednesday, right, Jades? $3 pints and $7.99 for personal pizzas up to three toppings. So $3 pints, just under $8 to hook it up with a personal pizza up to three toppings at Cables Pub and Grill, where my friends meet. Pay attention because we're going to be doing our draft party there this year. Cannot wait. Do we need to register somebody for that? So our fantasy football draft, as you know, and you don't just get in. A lot of our hooligans are like, am I in? You got to register. We want to make it fair for everybody. The champ gets in automatically. The arch nemesis of the show, Dixon, gets in automatically. Congratulations. Everybody else has got to work for it. I want you in. It's free. We do it through ESPN.com. It's a blast of a league. We have two different leagues set up. And then ultimately, the two champs go up against each other as far as points. And then the winner gets the great belt of greatness. There it is. I said great and greatness in the same sentence. You could be a part of this. Compete with us. We want you. Trash talk, all of it. I'm going to take caller number four. I need your first name. I need your email address so that we can get you set up. Well, probably some contact information as well. Maybe a number, because as we set this up at Cables Pub and Grill, we want you guys getting involved. So caller four on the First Advantage Hotline. That's 970-353-1310. 970-353-1310. I want you involved in our fantasy football draft. It could be you. Caller number four, 970-353-1310. 20 after the 12 o'clock hour. Short break coming up. We'll get into Tim Patrick and the Denver Broncos outlook coming up next. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy. We're on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Your no-go home of the Denver Broncos. Your games and news around the team on Northern Colorado's Voice. 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
This is Ali Farokmanesh, assistant men's basketball coach at Colorado State, and you're listening to the whole show on 1310 KFKA.
All right, welcome back in. 25 minutes after the 12 o'clock hour. First Advantage text line is 888-530-0043. Terrible news yesterday for the Broncos with Tim Patrick tearing his ACL, out for the season. It's devastating news. Either way you want to slice this thing. Now the question does become, if you're the Broncos, do you go after a top free agent? An available, and again, there's not going to be a lot of top free agents, but do you start to look around at guys that are perhaps available? I mean, who's out there that's a guy that you think could fit in with Russell Wilson? Or do you take your chances and go, okay, Cortland Sutton, and the hope is that Jerry Jeudy and KJ Hamler can step this thing up? Now, I just want to say this. Now, Wilson is kind of been known through his career. He doesn't spread it out a whole heck of a lot. He's going to go to number one and number two targets. Now, maybe that changes with what they're trying to do with Albert O, which I think Albert O is going to benefit. I say benefit loosely because I hate to say guys benefiting from an injury, but I think that might be the guy to step up. When you look at Russell Wilson or the top tier guys that Wilson's throwing to the last 8 years, look at this stat. Tyler Lockett last season, 107 targets, DK Metcalf, 129 targets. Both of them had, you know, just Lockett was a little north of 1,000. DK was a little south of 1,000. Outside of those two guys, it was Everett and Swain, a tight end and a receiver. 63 targets, about 100 targets between the two of them. About maybe 900 or 700 yards between the two of them. And then, again, this goes on and on and on, and I won't go through the entire list, but the last 8 years or so, it has been number one wide receiver, number two wide receiver. That's traditionally who Russell Wilson is looking at. Now, again, this could change things with the way, you know, he wanted changes in the offense. You are thinking that maybe he wants to utilize a tight end more, just didn't feel that it was going to help him as much with the situation he dealt with in Seattle. But this is where you have to look at a guy like Jerry Jeudy and say, dude, it's time. And there's no, hey, can he live up to the hype? You have to do it now. Denver desperately needs a guy to step up and be number two, because I think we all thought that whether it was Sutton or Tim Patrick, they're both reliable receivers that are going to benefit so much from Russell Wilson. You thought maybe they were going to both have really good seasons. I don't know that we said Sutton was going to be a top 10, top 5 guy, or Tim Patrick even, but both reliable targets for Russell. This is a huge blow. Make no mistake about it. I thought Patrick was probably the most reliable receiver over the last two seasons, especially last year. I felt like Bridgewater and Locke relied on him more than anybody else last season. I think Patrick made the best of a bad situation. So you just hate it for him. You know, you dealt with this last year. KJ Hamler goes down. You're just getting him back healthy, and then Patrick goes down. This is why training camp, and you do see Nathaniel Hackett and head coaches alike saying, all right, let's just take a few days here. Let's go hard for 3 days and then take a break. Let's go hard for 3 days. I just think that the risk sometimes of guys getting hurt in this fall camp setting is so great that you have to be extremely careful. And, you know, again, a lot of times these are freak situations and how they happen. Sometimes when they do get hurt like that, it's not even the biggest hit in the world or the biggest twist in their legs, just kind of how it goes. So this is a big blow for Denver. How big of a blow? You know, if you predicted the Broncos to win 11 games, does this change that at all? Or are you that confident that Russell Wilson can get the best out of Jerry Jeudy? I mean, I'm just seeing clips on Twitter and stuff, and Judy's had some drops. I don't know what to make of that, because he drops the football. I think that's going to be part of his career. I think Jerry Jeudy maybe is going to be forever known as, you know, a guy that has a few drops. But the other side of that is he's just so damn athletic, so shifty, that maybe you can put up with some of that. So I think you can still get a decent showing out of Jeudy, even with the drops, but you have to have him produce. He can create separation unlike anybody in the league. So you have to see that this year. The pressure that was on Jerry Jeudy to succeed this year, Jades, was like this. Well, you got Patrick and Sutton, so it's kind of a bonus, I guess. If it doesn't work out, it doesn't work out. Bust. Another failed draft pick by John Elway. Now, he has to get it right. He has to get it right. Unless Denver wants to look out. I'm looking at free agents available. You know, Christian Kirk, Allen Robinson. There's a few guys there in the mix that might be worth going after. But if you're Denver, do you get aggressive and go after a receiver? Do you wait till after camp is done and then see who's available? Because there's a few receivers that just kind of do this. They wait. They don't jump on a team just yet. They see the lay of the land and how these teams are doing. And then, okay, that might make sense for me to join. So I'll tell you what. You want to see if Jerry Jeudy's the future for you, for your football team? There is no better time like the present. Now that Patrick is out, you have to get the best from him. And maybe that will answer your questions of, do we want this guy long term? You know, that rookie contract's going to run out soon. Do we want this guy long term? He has a chance to answer the bell as soon as this season. You know, I think I asked the question, who's feeling the pressure the most? Chubb, Russell Wilson, Jerry Jeudy, Dalton Reisner. Well, that's Jerry Jeudy. Make no mistake about it. There is no more hoping that he works out. You have to work out this season. 32 minutes after the hour, more on the Rockies' uneventful day yesterday. Also, Mark Johnson joins me to talk a little CU Buffs as they get into camp action this week. And you know, Brendan Lewis, is it going to be his job? What does that schedule look like? All that and more coming up next with Mark. We'll see if we can get him on the phone here in just a few moments. First, let's get the latest on the local Sports Flash.